218 West Burkett.
Are your tires ready for winter? For sure-footed traction, put your trust in a new set of tires from Midas. Save $100 on a set of four select tires on popular brands like Cooper, Toyo, BF Goodrich, and Michelin. Select shocks and struts are buy three, get one free. And Midas has you covered with lifetime coverage on tires, shocks, brakes, mufflers, and more. Low on cash? Ask how to get 6 months deferred interest with the Midas credit card, keeping you safely rolling along. Midas Tire and Auto.
Alpine Climate Control is ready to make sure your home is warm, inviting, and economical this winter. Our showroom is full of working models of wood-burning, gas, and pellet stoves, as well as fireplace inserts, including zero-clearance models. Each choice is a fairly simple install that just takes a couple of days on average. Stop by our showroom to see the working models, or see them and schedule a free installation proposal online at alpineclimatecontrol.com. That's alpineclimatecontrol.com.
At Sheridan Funeral Home, we are experienced and skilled professionals who will guide you through your time of loss, listen to your needs and wishes, and take care of every detail. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. We have deep roots in the Sheridan community. We take pride in being able to lighten the burden as you take the first steps toward healing following your loss. Your needs and wishes are what matter most. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
A windy Wednesday, December 17th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Morning, Floyd.
How have things been down at the department?
Well, nobody blew away last night or this morning.
My goodness.
But it might happen at 2 o'clock today, apparently. So, no, things are good. We are getting ready for the holiday season. You know, this lull between the school getting out and then some of the kids from that are going to college coming back home. We have a little uptick in our activity during this 2 weeks. A lot of parents are like, yay, break. We're like, great. Break.
So, different outlook, right?
Yeah, but it's never bad. It's just a little uptick. People are obviously home to celebrate the holidays with their families, and we always encourage them to celebrate appropriately and responsibly. You know, we've talked about that many times on the show, and it's always great to see people back smiling and enjoying the time with family and friends. It's also sometimes there's a such thing as too much family, right?
Yeah.
And so we also have those situations too, where, you know, there's a lot of pressures that come along with the holidays too, expectations that are placed on families, in difficult financial times. You know, it can also cause stresses in relationships. So we deal with that quite often as well. So overall, things are going well. Some of our new officers are in the midst of their training and, you know, getting our staffing up to hopefully levels that where we need to be, and things are moving forward, progressing.
And if I could add one thing before I forget, she's going to skin me alive for saying this, but it's important to the chief and I that we recognize Community Service Officer Chris Walker, who after 20 years with the city and I think 17
20 or, with the PD
20 with the PD yeah. is moving on. She's going to stay with the city. Thankfully, she's going to work up at the landfill, but we disliked it because she won't let us have a party for her. But it's important for the community to know what a wonderful public servant Chris has been. One of the hardest workers I've ever met, and talking about someone that really, really wants to help accomplish the mission. So if you see Chris, probably don't thank her for her service, but just know that what a solid quality person she is, and what a great teammate she's been.
You better keep your head low after that.
Yeah.
20, she doesn't know where to find me.
20 years of service. Congratulations. That is dedication.
And going, like I said, still with the
and
city.
Still
and
going,
thankfully,
technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, and yeah.
No, it's a great job. And yeah, she might come after you, Kevin.
Or change the combination.
Now, we always like to kind of revisit certain myths and misconceptions about law enforcement this time of year. Captain, this is one thing that you like to look at and talk about. Chief, I know you do too, but the captain really loves to kind of come in here and dispel these.
And it's important. A lot of it is, and we joke about it over the years, but it's outlining expectations. Or, you know, a lot of the myths are like you can fingerprint whatever, or you can get DNA off anything, and there's always going to be someone in a database that it matches to. But it's a lot of it is this defining the parameters of the customer service that we provide to the community, and also to give a little insight into the nature of what we do and who we are, not only as an organization but as individuals. For instance, officers and dispatchers are people. And we're subject to emotions. So while not ideal, if we're dealing with a difficult person and we've exhausted all means of reasoning, then sometimes we're going to get a little annoyed too, and it's going to show. And happens to me, happens to everybody, and that's human nature. So that's the reason for these. We try to, I think, on some of them we put a humorous spin on it, but it's really just to know.
Yeah, you can't have the expectation of human empathy without the expectation of other human emotions.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that people forget is they want us to be completely robotic in maintaining our poise, yet why couldn't you be more empathetic? If I'm empathetic, I'm going to have other emotions. And just understand that, and we will do our best to always, you know, display the most appropriate, but you don't know what we just dealt with.
Yeah.
5 minutes before we're talking to you.
Yeah. I'm not going to repeat the story, but I had a first sergeant who was actually the chief of police down in Evanston. He was a great guy. He has since passed, but he told me about his first day on the job, and it was rough. Even just as, still wet behind the ears, kind of rookie, and he got thrown into a pretty dramatic, horrible situation that stayed with him for the rest of his life. These things affect our human officers as well. And I really do enjoy coming in here. And a lot of times we will put a humorous spin on it because some of these misconceptions are pretty funny. And I will talk about media's influence on the perceptions of the public of police departments all over the world. Because if you really think about it, is there really another profession?
No, and that's
more movies, more TV shows, more dramas.
Well, crime sells. It's an old saying, and it's true. I think we both read literature stating that people there's always crime's always on the front page, usually above the cut, as they used to say in the old traditional newspapers that were folded. But it's because it sells, and people want to know. And you know, it's a lot of the. When I say traditional media, that's news media, but also in entertainment media, it entertains. Mm-hmm. But to like everything, if you have an actor on a stage, they have to really project their personality to be heard. Well, then some of the elements of a crime and what the police do and their personalities, both good and bad, get magnified so people can see them and pay attention to them and notice them. And that also leads towards the sometimes unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
Whether like all cops are bad or all cops are good, or they can do whatever CSI says we can in the span of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's why we're so big on tapering and explaining expectations. But it sells. It's interesting. I love cop shows. I mean, there's a couple of that I think are some of the best TV I've ever watched and movies.
When I was going over this information this morning, I was thinking back to some of the old TV shows that I can remember from being a kid. And one of the very first shows that my father, sitting on his knee in his favorite chair watching, I could still hum you the theme to Hill Street Blues.
I knew you were going to say that. What? I remember that one
you
as well.
You remember that? That was a great show.
Yep.
But it was a cop show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a very little kid. This is how cops were.
And they never show officers working an accident or this going to a routine dispute or a routine call for service.
Or writing a report, for goodness sakes.
Sitting down
How many people has Mel Gibson shot on Lethal Weapon, and I've never seen him write a report on that?
So it's always the extreme ends of the spectrum, and they don't really depict what we do every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course, there's always the armchair lawyers. There's always the talk at the coffee shop and things like that. Maybe one story gets taken out of context, or individuals start a rumor, or maybe they're mad at you, or maybe, as the captain said, maybe they're almost, you know, putting you on too high of a pedestal, and that loss of humanity that, you know, PD can do no wrong. But there's controls and leadership in positions for a reason. Now, we've talked about the role that traditional media does play, and I feel I'm not going to get into anything about how we depict you or anything like that. We have had discussions. It is a partnership. If something does happen, we talk about it. And that's one thing I've always appreciated about the SPD. You've been very candid and open with me in every interview. How do you feel the rest of the area or the state, maybe even just the region, really looks at police? I mean, we're always talking about how lucky, you know, law enforcement is here in Wyoming, because we do put you on a pedestal.
I think the professional, and I'll call them professional journalism outlets, whether it's radio or print media, the ones that are true professionals, they do it right because they don't print rumors. They rarely discuss things that aren't facts that can't be verified, rarely. And overall, I think that's good. But there's obviously, there's, again, errors that are made, and there's times when it doesn't happen as we see it should, as maybe that's portrayed sensationalized a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But I think overall, I mean, locally, I can speak for the Sheridan Police Department. I have no complaints about our local journalism that occurs here whatsoever. But I think overall in the state of Wyoming, it's very similar to that. But there are exceptions, and I'm not gonna call anybody out, and I'm not gonna say anything this or that. But you know, when you're looking at true professionals, because you know, yeah, they do it right. Because there are also rules to play that are on the table for journalists, just like there are for any other profession. And so that's kind of my personal take on things.
And let's not forget also the role of media outlined in the First Amendment is to hold the all government accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we certainly would fall under that category, and we would expect the tough questions that are asked legitimately. And we're not really up to us to decide what's legitimate, but like the chief just said, there's an outlet or two out there that we will talk to, but we sometimes question their motivation.
Yeah.
But I will say, if I could name a competitive outlet, the Sheridan Media and the Sheridan Press, who we primarily talk to, have been wonderful, and they asked good hard questions that should be asked of the police department. That's their role.
And a working relationship is yes. important between a police department and local journalism. And those relationships, you know, also in media have kind of gone out of control. And one thing that comes to mind, you know, the patrol officer who gets slipped a 20 by the journalist to be able to go in and take a photo. And I'm sure a lot of that has happened over the nation.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I've never seen anything like that personally. And although I haven't been doing this job my whole life, I've been doing it for a while and did cover crime for quite a period of time locally. We have good, honest police officers and sheriffs and deputies here from what I've seen.
And media.
Yeah.
It's a team effort.
It is really a team effort. Now, one common misconception that kind of applies to a lot of what we've been talking about. We've been going over the hiring process for quite some time. We've been talking about how there were some changes recently. But one misconception is that anyone can be an SPD officer. Why would you say that's a myth?
Because our hiring parameters are very narrow. We are very selective about who we hire, and we have a fairly unique way of conducting oral interviews. We're hiring for character. I guess it's that time of the show where I say this. Even I can do this job, so it's obviously not an intellectual issue. It's a character-based. It's a character issue, and we want people that want to come join not only the PD, but our community for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to serve and also enjoy being here. It's a two-way street. And a lot of people are we've interviewed some very good people, but the character traits, the specific character traits we're looking for, weren't displayed.
There's got to be an alignment of those, right? An alignment of what those traits are that individual is displaying and what we need in an officer that can serve our community correctly. And so that, you know, they're really looking at how the meshing and the alignment of those characteristics go. It's kind of what it boils down to.
And I'll make a confession. I had a friend in Laramie who worked very hard to recruit me, and I almost went down and applied. But we decided to go ahead, head out, and I asked him some very serious questions regarding domestic violence. I have an issue with that. And so within that conversation, I found that I don't think I could be a good, effective peace officer, police officer, or deputy because of my personal experiences in the past. I don't think I could look at certain things objectively. And so I decided to move on from that and head back into college for journalism so that I could serve the community in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I myself had, you know, that was about a week of sitting down and really debating it because it is a career path and it takes a lot of dedication to your community. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. Excuse me. We're going to speak more with our Sheridan Police Department when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
This holiday season, give a gift that shines with meaning from Legacy Diamond and Gems, family owned and operated since 1964. Legacy is Sheridan's trusted jeweler for generations and Sheridan's only GIA graduate gemologist and one of only three in the state. With their creative team of bench jewelers on site, you'll find true craftsmanship and service that lasts a lifetime. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where your story becomes part of ours.
When life feels confusing or progress in therapy has stalled, information is power. A psychological assessment should be the first step, but it rarely is. An assessment provides a clear, evidence-based roadmap and personalized solutions. At Dynamic Reflections, licensed clinicians use tools to identify patterns in learning, attention, mood, and memory, enabling you to move forward with purpose. Most major insurance plans cover psychological testing. Visit dynamic-reflections.com and build your path to progress.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Sheridan, every child deserves a Christmas. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots would like you to be part of this year's toy drive. Register, donate, or volunteer at sheridan-wy.toysfortots.org. Distribution is December 17th through 20th at 151 West Brundage Street. Hope is only a gift away.
Sheridan Media's Christmas online marketplace is open for business. Shop from wherever you are and find items from over 50 local businesses with starting bids at half price. Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe, Landon's Greenhouse, Nursery and Landscaping, Cottonwood Kitchen and Home, and Evia Hearing and Sound. Bid now until Monday. We're going to close the marketplace down noon Monday so you can take those gifts for stocking stuffers. Check it out, SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. We're also talking about myths, primarily dealing with hiring process, the media, and the things that we see and perceive from not just the SPD, but all law enforcement. We were talking about the hiring process just before we took a break. And, you know, a lot of people might want to know how thorough a background check is when they come in to apply for this position. What's really looked at Chief.
Well, I mean, it's a dive into your complete work history. We go as far as speaking to associates and friends, and you know, a lot of times people have filled up application form and it says list of references. Well, we don't just talk to those references. We're also saying, hey, who else would be a common acquaintance of the two of you that could provide us? So we do a deep dive, talking to individuals about the individual's character that's applied, looking into their history of whatever it may be that what qualifies them for an officer. Work history is super important, reliability, trustworthiness, all those characteristics that go along with it. And so it's criminal histories, not just, you know, I mean, every place you've lived, we will send a records request to that agent, to that department. Now, oftentimes it's not the stuff we get back and return, but it's the things that are omitted on applications or things that, oh, I forgot to tell you, I had 10 police contacts when I lived in wherever I lived, right? And they weren't nothing, even though nothing criminal ever came out of them. It was just kind of there were some issues, right? So not providing us, and we tell people that all the time, it's not what we find out, it's what we find out that you didn't tell us. Because that's an honesty issue, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, how can I trust you to get out there and patrol our streets and provide the service level that I expect out of you if we can't trust you to be honest with us in an application?
And it's an application. So in a sense, it's a report on your own history.
Yes.
How can I expect you to be honest in further reports if you weren't honest in the first one that you gave me?
And we also really look into talking to former employers if they will talk to us. Because, you know, the best indicator of future performance is past history. So even if they weren't in law enforcement, if they've had poor job performance, poor attendance issues, in their work history, then that can be a huge factor too. So it's just not whether or not people have broken the law. It's how they perform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another misconception that I didn't know about, and I will admit I kind of spend a lot of time behind this microphone and not in the street interviewing people, but there is a misconception that you don't hire local candidates. What's the truth behind that?
Well, you're looking at a Sheridan native right across the desk from me right here, right?
Isn't the chief from
and so is the captain. I mean, we're both, even though he's moved around in the military a little bit, his family's originally from here. You're looking at two of them that are Sheridan natives. And so, no, we encourage it. We encourage our residents because that's we know, and from history, we have several officers of the department that have lived here, that have not necessarily born and raised here, but have been our community members for long periods of time. And so, yeah, we actively encourage those that are in this community to come apply.
Isn't there a sense of ownership? Not in a negative way, but hey, this is my city.
No, fortunately, we find that in even those candidates that are coming to us from out of town.
Yeah,
because that's just kind of that's one of those things, right? There's that guardian mindset that we've talked about before on here. But yeah, we know anybody out there that that's listening right now. You know, we and you qualify, and you feel this would be a good career path for you. Come apply, come ride with us, and we've talked about that. I don't know how many times. It's like, come find out if this job is for you. So, yeah, that's a complete myth that we don't hire people from Sheridan.
How did that get started, Captain?
I don't know. We've heard it since for the last 25 or 20 or however many years we've heard
since
it.
Since you guys were wearing some shoe leather.
I don't know. I suspect that. I think the genesis of it might have started at some of the local educational programs because we just simply weren't getting people that were fit even 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And this, there's no home field advantage either. If you don't get extra points for growing up here.
Yeah.
Right.
We've heard it. It still trickles in now and then. All things being equal, we would love to hire someone to grow up here, like the chief said. It's just that it's that sense of ownership. But a lot of the people we've hired lately do have roots of some sort here. This Monday we hired Christian Haley. While he's a lateral officer from Virginia, he's lived in town for a period of time. His certification's still good, and he was checking us out and the community out before he applied. Hunter Pope is from Buffalo,
which legacy. Is
yeah, yeah. Yeah, just, it goes just down the street. We consider that local. Stephen Piker, a long work history in town who we hired within the last 18 months or so. So we are getting that, the, at least those local connections.
Yeah. And yeah, when it comes to Pope, my daughter was actually best friends with, I think it's his sister.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I know that family history. Mm-hmm. Great family history in law enforcement.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, more Buffalo, but yeah, I consider that kind of local too.
Yeah, but the local people have to apply first for us to hire them.
Now, switching gears on you, there is, you know, the traffic stop. We've all been there. And we've all been a little frustrated by it. We were in a hurry when you stopped me. And now you're taking more time. But some people will often say this, which I can't believe people still say this. You should focus on solving crimes.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to doing anything, having to do a traffic stop.
Yeah, sure. The old, don't you have anything better to do? You should be out there solving murders. Well, we've talked about it many times. High visibility enforcement is preventative enforcement. It's preventing crime, and that's our number one goal, is to prevent crime, because if we don't have crime occurring, there's nothing to solve, right? And so nobody's victimized, and that's what it's all about. And so we are very highly focused on high visibility enforcement, and that occurs through conducting traffic stops. Oftentimes, and I'm an expert in data-driven approaches to crime and traffic safety, crime and traffic overlap. Criminals need avenues to get to where they commit crimes, whether it's theft, larceny, crimes against persons, whatever it may be. Those things intersect, and by being proactive, we've solved more crimes with traffic stops than I can even recount on here. So, yeah, we hear that all the time, and when I say, "Why don't you go out and do your job?" and this is what I am doing. And this is the appropriate.
It's a community expectation too. If you read our in the media, the daily police reports, look how many traffic complaints we get.
Yeah.
People expect us to be out there making it safe to drive instead of the probably a very small minority who are upset in the heat of the moment, wondering why we're not doing other things. And we have detectives for major crimes too, by the way. But it is what the community expects. And we've gotten that from comments from city council that we need to be out there to daily anecdotal conversations.
And I can tell you, as a father, I lived on a street that was, I wouldn't call it busy, but boy, howdy, when I was in Cheyenne, there were a lot of lead foots. And every time they'd fly by that house, I'd worry about my kiddos, you know. And so when I would see, and it was just on that outskirt, so I would get the PD and the sheriffs out there. And I'd feel better every single time I saw them on my street because I knew what car it was. And I thought, one day they're going to get you, buddy. And they did. And it was good to see. Now, I just realized I'm not going to be able to talk to you before the new year. We've managed to kind of drive down some DUIs in certain ages. It is the number one risk to public safety in Sheridan. I just wanted to get comments or you know, recommendations, urges, anything like that from you regarding being safe over the course of the new year.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of this show, I talked about it a little bit, but it's, you know, we want people to have a wonderful holiday. We like to see the cheer and the joy that go along with it, but we want it to be done responsibly because we don't want tragedy to strike any families. So those that are going to be out and celebrating the holidays, whether it's at home, whether it's at family and friends' houses, and you're going to indulge in any kind of, you know, intoxicating beverages, you're going to drink, do it responsibly. Make a plan. We always talk about making a plan ahead of time. And, you know, that's the things I hate the worst is I'm knocking on a door, and I've had to do it more times than I can count, knocking on a door and telling a family member that their loved one was killed in an accident or by a drunk driver. And I don't want to do that. I don't want my officers to have to do that this holiday season. So, yeah, I mean, let's have a great holiday season. Let's make it a fantastic and fun and safe, number one, safe holiday. And, you know, I know from our department, everyone out there, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you both for coming in. It's always great to talk about misconceptions. I know we didn't hit all of them. But once again, just kind of sitting here speaking with you, it's great to go over these things and kind of get the truth out there. Merry Christmas, guys.
Thanks, Floyd. Merry Christmas to you and everyone here.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to the mayor of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Hey, Riley, remember learning about money when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, mostly how to spend it.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust is helping kids and teens learn how to manage it.
We bring financial literacy right into classrooms and organizations, totally free.
With interactive tours, materials, and real banking pros to answer questions.
Want to bring it to your group? Visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Building strong financial futures together.
Reserve your spot on an unforgettable 11-day Denali Explorer Princess Cruise with Latitudes Travel, departing Vancouver May 16th. Visit Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway, and cruise through Glacier Bay National Park. Then enjoy direct-to-the-wilderness rail service to Denali National Park for a three-night stay. A small deposit holds your place, and packages start at just $1,649 per person. Call Rick or Julie at Latitudes Travel of Wyoming, 674-0656, or stop by 157 West Brundage next to Real Deals in Sheridan.
Doug, what truck survives Wyoming winters?
The Silverado, Bob. We have all the new ones. 1500, 2500, and 3500 HD. Pick the muscle you need.
Snow, mud, mountains, the Silverado just shrugs and says not a problem, huh?
Strong engines, smart tech, comfort, built to work.
And built to make me look good?
Let's not promise the impossible, Bob.
Hey, folks, come on down and find your 2026 Silverado today.
Waring Chevrolet, 107 East Alger, or go online at waringsheridan.com.
We're giving away $2,000 in Sheridan Commercial Company gift cards. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Today and every weekday until Monday, December 22nd, we're giving away $250 in gift cards. That's five $50 gift card winners each day. Come in and register today and every day. We are drawing winners now. Come on down. Merry Christmas from all of us at the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
As Christmas carols fill the air with angelic voices,
as church bells ring,
and the Star of David shines brightly,
we remember the true meaning of this blessed time of year.
Merry Christmas. Hi, this is Elizabeth.
And I'm JT Kraft.
We at EBA Hearing would like to wish you and your family a Christmas filled with peace and memories of that little manger in Bethlehem.
May your heart be filled with the Holy Spirit as the angels sing.
Merry Christmas from the Kraft and EBA families, providing better hearing in Northeast Wyoming for over 25 years.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by the Buffalo City Mayor, Mr. Shane Schrader. Good morning, sir. Welcome back to the show.
My friend Floyd, how are you doing?
Fantastic. It's a little windy outside. How is it over there in Buffalo?
A tiny bit windy, but it's Wyoming. What do you expect? I mean,
yeah, it's good to know.
A day without wind isn't Wyoming.
I'll tell you, I'm just glad that there's not snow behind it. I know there's a lot of people who are really looking forward to that snow, but boy, howdy, I'm just not. So, but as we approach the end of the 2025 year, what have your top priorities been as the mayor of Buffalo this calendar year?
Oh, you know, we had some little bit of turnover. We're still looking for a building inspector. We're still looking for a planner, working on those, trying to get the candidates is somewhat challenging at time, but we're doing that. You know, we got our two-year Main Street project, 99.99999% finished. So that was a good accomplishment. We, you know, put in our budget and we're doing good down here in Buffalo, and I think, you know, my priorities from day one getting elected was safety and security and, you know, making sure things keep flowing, and they're flowing. So,
do you feel that the safety security issue has been addressed? Or, I mean, I understand that was kind of your platform, but do you feel that with Chief Bissett, anything has really progressed? I mean, has there been any dramatic changes at all?
there's been no dramatic changes. You know, they've cracked down on a few things and got some stuff pushed out of town that I'm glad they did. You know, our police department and our sheriff's department here are outstanding folks, and they do the greatest of jobs for us, and I'm just proud of them. And they've kept my promise for me over this year, so on safety and security of Buffalo. So
now when we look at infrastructure projects that were completed through the year, I know the Main Street project kind of takes what we call the top fold in just about every situation. But there also was some improvements as far as water meters. Did we get that all completely finished now?
It is not completely finished. There's the few hit and misses. And, of course, as you know, there were some people that weren't for the new water meters. That's their right. And so we're doing good, and it's just picking the ones off that weren't there, weren't available, had to do some remodeling, getting the house finished, that type of thing, to get those last and final water meters in. So we're getting those slowly but surely. We're down to just the last few. So,
and when it comes to the Buffalo Wells project, there actually has been a little bit of movement out there. What do we got?
Yep, they were running some tests. They were pumping it. It should be just about complete. And, you know, you have to run it, then you have to, DEQ has to test it, and then you have to run it again and DEQ test it. So there's a lot of testing to make sure that the water is, in fact, 100% safe, that we know it is, but we need to put it on paper. So that Wells project is going good, and, you know, now Buffalo has a secondary source of water if something should unfortunately happen to the first source of water. So,
and I've been following this for years. Les Hook kind of briefed me in a number of years ago. This project has been ongoing for so long. There were a lot of different opportunities that Buffalo as a city looked at. The Wells project was the one that the city dedicated itself to. It has taken quite a while to not only find the source, but as you said, once the source is there, now how do we tap it? And this is the second source of water for the city of Buffalo in case anything happens to that watershed. How does it feel kind of having that almost buttoned all the way up after all this time and effort?
Amazing. In one word, amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a construction project, and, you know, people get tired of hearing it, but with every construction project comes a hiccup, a speed bump, or whatever. But we've gotten through it, and here we are, and, you know, second source of water. So life's always challenging, and throw Mother Nature on top of it, and another challenge. So there we are.
Speaking of challenges,
that's the best way I can describe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been a long time. A lot of people were involved in this
effort. Years.
Yeah. And so it's good to know that, you know, it's a real sense of security for the city going forward from here, having that second source of water. And I believe it was a number of fires that happened years ago where people started asking questions. What happens when the sediment really starts settling? What's going to happen to our water treatment plant? So I'm really happy, especially as a resident, to know that that is there. Now, switching gears on you, sir, and speaking of challenges, your perspective on encouraging applicants to prepare for Buffalo's 1% funding process. The due date, has it passed or is it coming near?
It's coming up. So it was just discussed yesterday at the city-county meeting. We got the dates and, you know, dates set, and I want to say it's in February 12th. But if you're going to apply for those 1% funds, check with if you're in the county, check with the county offices. If you're in the city, check at the city offices. But get your application in early and make sure you follow all the rules and get it in early. As we know, there's some money drying up coming out of Cheyenne, so a lot of people are going to be asking for the same amount of dollars that we're not sure how those same amount of dollars are going to be. So get them in quick.
Now, when it comes to the community members, I know that there's usually some individuals who may disagree with 1% funds or GPET, as we call it over here. How would you encourage community members to really participate in the 1% application process?
Well, you know, it's your tax dollars that are coming back to you, and that's what it is. And, you know, the organizations and the groups that are asking for this are groups that are needed in my community and Sheridan and in all the communities that give back these 1% funds. You know, they're nonprofits, they're community based, they assist, you know, masses of people that are out there, and it helps them operate and get some things purchased and bought that their budgets might not be able to handle outside of getting some of these tax dollars back to these groups. So participate in it. If you think you qualify, put it in, ask the questions at City Hall or at the courthouse and find out. I can't stress it enough that these are your dollars that are able to come back to you to help the community. So.
Is during the process itself, is there a public comment period, or do you just encourage people, you know what, come on down to City Council. We have public comment periods during each one. Go ahead and voice your opinion or your concern.
Everybody's open to come to a City Council meeting. The city, you know, the department head meetings are open in the mornings. The city county meetings are open in the mornings. They're recorded. There's plenty of time and plenty of ways to get the information. But again, you know, not to sound harsh, but it's also up to the citizen to come and get some of the information as well. So,
absolutely, we all have responsibility.
Communities would go bankrupt if we had to send out all the information to every resident. And your voices get heard. You know,
absolutely. Now, as your time in mayor, have you found it challenging at all in communicating complex municipal processes like this one to the public? Or do you find that there are avenues that you can use, there are approaches that you can take to really get that information out there?
Well, I think it comes down to knowing your community and knowing the people that you're talking with. Some people, such as me, might be a little bit stubborn, and you might not be able to change my mind as easy as others. But a lot of times, if you just come down, and if you don't fully understand something, come down. We have staffs of people that can help explain it. I can help explain it. Your council person can help explain it. And just to fully understand, you know. Social media is probably not the best way to understand how government works anymore.
Yeah, that was actually
to be honest.
My second question, or my next question, sir, was that in your time, you know, social media being used by communities has really escalated. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of on the fringes when you first took office.
Yep.
Do you feel that it has really influenced community conversations about city issues?
I think if you read what is put out, maybe on the city's Facebook page, for example, that's what it is. That's what the facts are. If you get into some of the other ones, Senator John Kennedy may have summed it up best with referring to it as a cesspool of snark. So I'm not sure at all. It depends on which side of the information you're on. So I'll be honest, I personally am not 100% social media driven. So I think if there's facts that can be put out there by the agencies, by the cities, by the counties, those are the facts. That's what's backed up. Here's your proof. Here's what we can show you. And maybe not a opinion that's put out there. Fact versus opinion on social media.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge in every media. And I would definitely add that. Many times people will take an editorial as factual information, and it's not. I'm gonna switch gears on you, and we're still talking about this year, but what would you say was your most rewarding part of serving as mayor this year?
Oh, I've said a million times, and you heard me say it, Floyd, it's never about me. So I like the fact that some of the projects have been accomplished, that we've gotten some things done. We've got some equipment bought that maybe the fire department or the police department or the street department, city hall needed. So I think the fact that we made it through, everybody safe, and we didn't break the bank was the accomplishment. So small steps for me, and it's never about me. So.
And I will say, sir, and just for those individuals that are out there listening, based on that conversation that we were just having, this is an opinion. Mike Johnson were some big shoes to fill coming in there. He was a great mayor, in my opinion, and I think that you've done a fantastic job coming in and making your own mark as mayor on Buffalo and getting things accomplished. Do you feel that public feedback has shaped your approach to policy, or do you feel that, you know what, I kind of went in there knowing what I wanted to do?
Well, I've never gone in. I never went in. I've never had an agenda to accomplish any one specific thing, because I think when you walk in with an agenda, that's what you focus on, and there's a bazillion other things out there that need your attention. Again, it wasn't about me. So it was about the city, and, you know, we got some pay scales up where they needed to be. We've gotten some stuff accomplished. We've gotten some infrastructure done. And that was a goal that I set for myself, and we've accomplished it. So, you know, it's the being in the public eye as an elected official, some people are going to like you, some people aren't. And as long as you can walk out, and as long as I can walk out at the end of my time in the mayor's office saying I did all right, I'm good with that.
As you look at the city's future, have you and council and department heads discussed goals for improving any kind of communication between City Hall and youth or young professionals in the coming year?
You know, I'm seeing at council meetings more and more the younger folks coming in. And, you know, I think the council is really good about being out in the public and talking and answering questions. I don't know of anybody on the council that's unapproachable. I don't think I'm unapproachable. And, you know, I'm probably one of the easier people to get a hold of in Buffalo. You can call 911 and get a hold of me. but it's just open communication, and I think we're willing to openly communicate with anybody. So I won't do it on social media, though. I won't talk social or city business on social media, but you can call me, you can stop me on the street, you can catch me down at the ambulance office, you can do whatever, and I'll talk stuff with you. I have one citizen that comes in every Friday to talk to me about stuff.
just idle conversation.
Yep, idle conversation. How's the city going? What's going on with this street? What's going on with that street? She always brings me cookies, so I don't mind. But
I see.
But,
yeah,
she comes in and just catches up with me. So
now, as I said, as we look at the future of Buffalo, are there any efforts underway to make Buffalo more accessible and welcoming to any new residents that may be coming in or thinking about relocating up here to northern Wyoming?
Well, you know, I went out and helped a family unload their U-Haul. So if that's not welcoming, you know, they moved up here from another state, needed some help, and somebody got a hold of me, and I went and helped them. So I'll go help you and unload your U-Haul if you need it. And, you know, we're working on some housing stuff that, you know, some new and exciting things coming forward there. So,
and I think that's probably the biggest challenge from what I've heard.
In a lot of communities.
Absolutely. The Wyoming Business Council actually said that it was one of the number one things that was brought to them, the concern about housing within these communities. I've only got about 45 seconds left with you, sir. So as the year ends, what message would you like to send the community about Buffalo's future direction?
We're going to grow, folks, and it may be small bounds, but you know, as you can see, we're growing, and so we're making plans to make it as easy and as accessible as possible.
All right, sir, I want to thank you so much for calling in today and speaking with us. Happy holidays to you and your family.
You as well.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Building a strong financial future starts with knowing the basics.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy to life.
We offer free resources tailored to your group, interactive bank tours, hands-on materials, and real conversations with our banking professionals.
It's a smart, practical way to prepare the next generation.
Learn more or request a speaker at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City, one of the big reasons to choose Tales of the City is food for your pets.
Nature's Logic, Victor, they're both gluten-free. Victor does use ancient grains, and the new one, Next Level. It is a performance food. You'll see stock dogs using it, cattle dogs, working dogs, sled dogs, active dogs in the backyard chasing the squirrels. This food is a fantastic food. You got to come in and see it.
Get the best for your pet at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
Hey, Doug, Santa called. He needs help.
With what?
Cleaning the sleigh. He wants detail shop gift certificates from the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop.
That makes sense. Reindeer aren't exactly tidy.
True, but these work for everyone. Shiny outside, spotless inside, just in time for Christmas.
Come down, pick them up, 49 Broadway.
Help Santa and the messy drivers in your life.
Give the gift of a clean vehicle.
The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway, online at waringsheridan.com.
Time once again for Letters to Me. Ho, ho, ho. Just go to SheridanMedia.com and click on the picture of me, and you can type in exactly what your child wants for Christmas. These letters to Santa are read every Friday till Christmas during the 7 a.m. hour on the Tommy and Bell's Coyote Morning Show and are brought to you by Kids Curious, Jack and Kathleen Wood, the Sheridan Rec District, Buckingham Lumber, Arrow West Insurance, and Kemco Federal Credit Union. Ho, ho, ho!
The following message is presented by the Home Loan Center of First Federal Bank and Trust on Coffeen Avenue.
Hungry at lunchtime? Then come to lunch together every weekday from 12 to 12:45. Enjoy a home-cooked meal absolutely free. Just neighbors, good food, and a warm welcome. Whether you're short on funds, short on groceries, or just for a meal with friends, Lunch Together is for you. Join us at the First Congregational Church, 100 West Worth. It's right across from the old First Interstate drive-thru.
It's the best shopping event of the season. SheridanMedia.com's Christmas Online Marketplace featuring over 40 local businesses with items starting at half price. Gift certificates from Kilpatrick Creations, Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, Roosters, M&K Rentals, Java Moon, and 307 Fitness. Bid now until Monday because we're going to close the marketplace at noon Monday so you can get your gifts before Christmas. Check it out. Go online, SheridanMedia.com.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Commando, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Kim Commando Show, brought to you by Range on 103.9 FM and 930 AM, KROE.